Good evening, and welcome to Talk Truth Radio with your host, Dr. Rain Morgan. Dr. Rain Morgan is Mother Earth, and you can look forward to the next 3 hours of enlightening talk. What are the issues? More importantly, what are the solutions? We hold the torch. Together we stand. Now join Dr. Rain and this evening's guest. Open your mind and have a good time.
Good evening, and thank you so very much for joining us one more Wednesday night. I'm Dr. Rain Morgan, and this is Rain of Truth Talk Radio. We have very special guest this evening that I have had on shows in previous years. Almeen is a very special friend of mine, is a very special guest on this show. I've been studying with Almeen for many years. I want to tell you folks listening just a little bit about her. And when I say a little bit, these words are, the English language is the barrier. These words cannot begin to describe Almeen really, but we'll try. Almeen is a Toltec three-prong Nawal, mystic, healer, and teacher who for years has traveled through many countries, empowering thousands of individuals drawn to her comprehensible delivery of advanced metaphysical concepts. And her company, her base place where you can go, will tell you about her website. Her company, Spiritual Journeys, is the vehicle for disseminating the written and recorded spiritual and metaphysical teachings. A world-renowned mystic and seer is Almeen. The extraordinary revelations that she gives the world expand our understanding of the significance of the role of man within the cosmos beyond anything previously imagined. And so, to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us, and I give to you Almeen. Good evening, Almeen.
Good evening, Rain. What a delight to be talking to you again, my sister.
I know, my sister. This is something that I have waited for some time. I know one of my friends, Mary, came up to you and said, Rain sends her love to you.
Yes.
She and I were working together.
Well, we don't see each other that often, but when we talk, it's like we have never been apart, so
it
that's
is.
Friendship.
You have new work out, and I've been looking at your work and listening to other people, and I think it's profound. New books out, books that certainly touch my heart, but Almeen, I want to start out tonight. I want you to talk about a subject that I'm talking heavily about in my own teachings, and it's where I am now. And I want to talk with you. You know, I've always said it's about me. I do radio for me. And so tonight, boys and girls, guys and dolls out there listening, this radio is for me. Almeen, ascension. This is a subject that people are throwing around. Everybody's talking about it. I know everybody wants it, or at least they think they want it. Let's talk about ascension and immortality. And I know, everything in me knows, and then I'll shut up when I say this, everything in me knows that you have reached that place. And I want to know about it, and I want to know, how do I know?
Well, my sister, let us start to understand exactly what the term means and define it for our listeners.
There are three stages within humanity's spiritual growth and attainment. And the first stage is where most of the people in the street is. It's the stage of identity consciousness, where people still are identifying with their left brain, with their mind, with their body, etc.
Right.
And that state has a specific characteristic. The stillness of the mind is marred by a deafening internal dialogue. And this is very important, because to go to the stages beyond, which is what we call mastery, there is silence of the mind. And so, you know, perhaps a little later, if it's okay with you, we can talk about how to achieve the silence of the mind.
I want to.
But in the first stage, which is identity consciousness, each of these three stages have three little phases. There is the initiate, and the initiate, you know, sheds everything that they thought they know about life and approaches the path with great humility. It is at that point that they are an initiate. Before that, they're just sort of bumbling along. So the initiate has as its challenge fear, because all the belief systems that were so cozy and comfy but were in fact prison bars need to be thrown out the window, and the only thing that initiate truly knows is that he knows nothing. Now he's ready for the path. The next phase of this first stage of man's development is the adept. And the adept has attained a certain amount of perception and can see that things around him in his environment are symbolic. So if something comes to him in the form of a problem, he doesn't see it as a problem. He starts to see the power that lies inherent in it as a challenge. And that is the source of perception, which is power and light. So the adept starts to fly a little higher, starting to leave the flocks of birds behind. And then we get to the master. And it's here where most light workers are. And unfortunately, they often go to teachers that themselves have never made the leap from that mastery to the next phase,
yeah,
to the next, actually, stage, because beyond that is that second stage. And so they keep going around and around the fishbowl,
right,
because to make that leap, something has to silence the internal dialogue. So the next stage of man is God consciousness. In this stage, again, there are three very distinct area, you know, phases within it. And the first one is total emptiness. You feel like a bucket of bolts that's been emptied out on the floor, and all there is a hollow bucket.
That's me.
You know? Well, this is
right
a good
there.
Place to be, my sister. This is definitely a place where the mind is still, be it a little disconcerting.
Found that.
But beyond that lies the bliss. And the bliss is very, very intoxicating, and many of the masters in the Far East that reach that never go beyond it. Because unless there is the knowledge that there is so much more that lies beyond, like the ascended mastery stage and immortality, that is where they stay. And so they stay in bliss. It looks very, very advanced. That is supported by their devotees. But the bottom line of it is that they must re-enter the human condition, and even though they remember that they are no longer the body, they are no longer the mind, they know they are a consciousness superimposed over all that is, they must re-enter the human condition and go back into society to make that next leap into the ascended mastery stage, which is the final stage and the culmination of humanness. Now, it's not the end of the journey, but it is in humanness the end of the journey. So the next last stage is ascended mastery. It's the conglomerate of three phases again. In the first phase, what happens is total automatic speaking and writing. For example, my last four books have been written entirely with an empty space in my mind, with my hand simply writing the book. My books are written in longhand. I would stand up and speak for an hour in front of a group without a single thought in my head. So this is the place of automatic thinking and writing. Again, somewhat fearful. You'll find each of the first phases of these three stages are fearful because of the fact that you're now on very wobbly ground. The second phase is immortality. And in the second phase, the experience is one that happens in an instant. It's like a lightning flash that goes through the body. And there are, it's like popcorn popping in the cells. The bliss that you go into in this immortal mastery stage is beyond what can be explained. In this stage, the energy lines that go up on either side of the spine, actually during states of heightened bliss, which is just about all the time, it actually excretes a sweet substance into the back of the soft palate. It's an extraordinary stage. The phase of immortality, as every other phase within mastery, is actually a transfiguration of the fields around the body. If you want to bring the body on par with the transfigured fields of the immortal master's stage, or let's call it a phase because the whole stage is called ascended mastery, you have to go into eternal time. And the eternal time is a very specific, for those that are familiar with what an assemblage point means, it's that sort of a point on the fields that fixes the perception. It's a very specific assemblage point position. And in eternal time, there is no future, there is no past, there is just this moment. If you can live there, the body becomes immortal. You find, for instance, when you cut yourself, you'll slice it almost to the bone, and you'll see the flesh, but if you hold it together, it will stick. And if you think it should bleed, it will. But if you don't, maybe a little drop of blood. But that's about it. You eat much less. You go to the bathroom much less. And again, the bliss there is very deep, and you have to make sure that you don't get stuck there. Beyond it is the ascended mastery, where, you are so widely expanded, you live from a perspective that knows that it is all things. And there's a lot I can tell you about the ascended mastery realms, but I'll be quiet so you can sort of lead me where you want to go.
Well, I think the question that is posing, for me right now, I'm looking and listening, looking at what I'm writing after, as I'm listening to you talk, to see where I am, if I can find myself in what you are talking about. And one place that I know I am, and I think this is the place I have to start from to say, how do I take those next steps, is I do experience standing and speaking, walking into a room, having no idea what it is that I'm going to be talking about, just knowing the subject, and my mouth opens and I start to talk. I haven't written. I am writing, but in small things. I haven't written a book as you have. I have it in bits and pieces. Now, I'm at the place also where I don't eat. I don't require very much food. I sleep much different.
Yes.
How do I take those next steps? I mean, and I'm sort of not interested right now that anyone is even listening to this. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do, my sister. I understand. Well, here's the thing. See, most of my classes right now, I do a few classes a year in my home. Most of the classes are populated by ascended masters, indeed the highest levels. That, we really can't even go there, but they are populated by ascended masters. It is a lot easier to get there. In February of 2005, the goddess of all creation, the mother of all life, gave the instruction that human gods need to be prepared. And she said that there are steps beyond our ascended masters. Up until August of 2005, only 9 had made it through. Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Sanat Kumara, Mother Mary, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. There were Kuan Yin and 2 female immortal masters. that became, that actually made it out of the Ascended Mastery Realms. The Ascended Mastery Realms, according to what was said to me in August, actually, of 2005, was some of the most stagnated places in the cosmos, because they had overpolarized into the light. And that is why I made one of my CDs called The Power of Emotion, because when you go from stage to stage, what pulls you out of this wide, expanded bliss that could lead you to stagnation is to know how to utilize the power of emotion to move the kundalini. So the difference is, if you're saying, how do I know which phase I'm in or stage I'm in, the difference between the God consciousness masters, and many of the Far East masters are there, and masters that actually go into immortality or, the phases of the ascended mastery, is, again, comes down to the dialogue. In identity consciousness, there's dialogue. Most spiritual teachers out there themselves have deafening dialogue. And so they can only help people round and round. In God consciousness, you have dialogue a lot of the time in the head, but it's a choice. So you can stay in silence for the longest time, or you can withdraw into silence if you don't enjoy where you are, and be in total silence without your mind having that dialogue. In the ascended mastery stage, mind is actually utilized as a tool of analysis. For instance, you can go days without sleeping, but you will notice that you're tired when you try and read a book or do a bit of math. In any instance where you wish to use that analytical tool of mind, that is the only time you will find, oh my goodness, I haven't slept, I'm tired. But there is no choice when you're in the Ascended Mastery. You live from this expanded state. The dialogue is only there when you're analyzing. But it isn't even there when you relate. Because in God consciousness, you still pull out of the expansion to relate. Like if somebody's speaking to you, for instance. So that's primarily the difference if our listeners wish to gauge where exactly they are.
Okay. There's so much stuff that I want to talk with you about. Let's go to, you know what, let's talk about 2012, Almeen.
Okay. Any specific questions? Then I
will
tackle it from one
side. Well, so many people are wondering what really is going to happen. What does it mean? The earth isn't going to fall apart. Is the government going to collapse at that time? And that's probably someplace else that we need to go, because people are so looking at what's going on with the wars and all of that. So why don't we kind of, talk about what you think is coming, or what you've seen is coming in 2012, and the condition of our earth right now.
Certainly. Rain, in February of 2005, in January I went into my Ascended Mastery levels on the 5th of January. Uh-huh. In the end of February, I was hastened by Mother into immortality, and it was only a few months later that, in fact, my body caught up. What was said to me is that I had to get ready in a hurry, because I would be involved with those that come to work with me, that will know in their hearts that they're supposed to be there, in the opening of the membranes between realms for the Earth's full ascension. And that because she is truly this gem, this pivot point of the cosmos, all of the cosmos would be pulled behind her. This journey has been documented in my books, and the incredible things that have occurred within the cosmos and on Earth while man slumbers and doesn't even know it. Well, time started to speed up. By the end of that year, we were already in 2011. By the following year, in fact, we had gone through 2012. I had an experience with something had happened. I was really stuck. I didn't know what on earth was going on, because our spiritual realms had moved forward in time and we were still lagging behind. And I had Merlin actually appear. Tall, skinny man with long white hair, and he had a cane. And I asked him, what has happened to time? And he produced a calendar out of thin air, tore it up, and threw it on the floor, and then he jumped over it. He never spoke. And then he jumped over it. And I said, what do you mean? Do you mean that there is no time? And he took a clock and he put it on the floor with a big hammer. He smashed it. And then he left. And truly, we are far beyond 2012. And my sister, we have done it. We have prevented major, major world wars, famines. I prophesied of those things when they were a very probable future. I made a tape set actually called Fly to the Eagle. We don't even sell it anymore, but it was to tell people how to become prepared. I don't think we sell it, but how to become prepared. How to have some basics put away that if something did happen, they could go off the grid and provide for their families. Because it was a very probable future. That future was totally changed by the way that the way showers on the earth lived their lives. And we went into a full-blown ascension, and we are still in a full-blown ascension. And so many earthquakes that were prophesied, you know, the washing of water over the continents, etc., the splitting of the earth, that actually did happen. And it rejoined again, an extraordinary experience. But the point is, we're long past 2012.
So our calendars are way off.
Oh, my gosh. Like Merlin did.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was last year, in 2006, and if I recall correctly, it was around the beginning of the summer, that mother said that the future and the past had totally collapsed, that all karma was therefore wiped out. And she, the vision that she showed me was a two-pointed crystal, and the whole thing collapsed into the middle and a diamond was formed. And she said, this is the eternal now.
Another thing that I find very interesting in your work now, let me see, I'm going to look at the website and give you the names of the two of the books. Let's see, The Magic, what is the name of the fairy magic?
Oh, this, my goodness, was that an experience?
Aruba Farina?
I know that you adore them, but you see, I was so busy with this work, and I was producing Secrets of the Hidden Realms, to inform people about all the wonderful kingdoms that are in the other realms. And then Mother instructed me, because 2006 in August, a massive change happened across the cosmos that affected life everywhere. And she told me to write The Ring of Truth and have it absolutely done and finished by the 1st of December.
Right.
Well, I'm in the middle of this, and a group of fairies approached me, and they said to me, on the 13th of November, we will let you into our world for 1 week. During that time, you may take photographs, we will show you our world, we will give you our magic, and we will give you our writing. And my sister Aruba Farina, Book of Fairy Magic, all 200 pages of it, was written in 1 week. No sleep.
No.
Yes. No sleep.
No sleep. Well,
they gave me the fairy calendar. Oh, my goodness, Rain, you've got to see this.
I have to.
What they do is they have a calendar, but their days are not the same size as our days. But it tells you how high fairies fly at which time of day, so you know where to look for them. It's absolutely just the most adorable thing. I've tried to keep everything just the way they spoke it. It's with this childlike innocence that their language comes out. And I've kept their words verbatim. I've tried to be really respectful. I've given their languages as they've given it to me, both written and spoken. But, oh, what an experience.
It just makes me shiver. Now, I don't know if you remember, but a great deal of my background not only comes from Toltec studying, but right use of will. And I think you know that I was with Ramtha for quite some time, and 7 years in Yelm. And then I went to the right use of will material. And one of the last books channeled by C.M. de Rohan is about Pan, Earth, what Earth was called before it was called Earth, and the loss of her magic. And, of course, Middle Earth and you know, right use of will talks about the fairy magic and how it's our birthright. And I know I was there. I can remember it. I can see it. So I get excited to find new information on what I know my heritage to be. This is where I come from.
I have such news for you. I hope we don't have a commercial break coming soon.
We don't.
I've got to tell you this.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Last year, Mother sent me to Ireland to a group of masters that live in Ireland. They have for centuries been coming back and forth through a time tunnel that is a time tunnel that was at Clonmacnoy in Ireland, southern Ireland. And they've been coming back and forth and preparing for this day. And she sent me with these sacred objects to them over a period of several months last year. Then, in I believe it was December of last year, the full-blown Order of the White Rose came forth, the Order was reestablished as the feminine pole of white magic. They allowed me to translate the Isis Mysteries. Now, I'm telling you, Rain, there is a library that, if I translated day and night, would keep me busy for at least 1,000 years.
Oh, my.
I chose the material that pertained to the Earth's history and things that were prophesied for this time. And I translated. This book is 350 pages thick, approximately, and it will go to the printer in October. So it will be out by the end of the year. In the book, it prophesied about a land to the west where the Order of the White Dove will be established, which is the positive polarity of the white magic restored again to man. And Isis writes in there how it is, Mother, that it is the birthright of man, that every single kingdom has white magic except man, and that it was stolen from him. And so what happens is that she speaks about this Order of the White Rose. In January, I was given the prophecy that it will become an actuality in September.
This year?
Yes. And it's on this continent. So I finished the Isis book, writing day and night, making the most complex, you know, because every prediction, everything that she writes, I first have to write in her glyphs. And then oftentimes there was visuals given that remind me a lot of the visuals that you see in the Windmaker material, if you're familiar with that, you know. But they are pictures that when you look at them, they change your DNA. So I was drawing these copiously and every little glyph and translating it. On the 15th of June, I finished. And I thought, oh, thank you, Mother, I can rest. On the 16th of June, the material came in directly from the Creator Goddess. These are the prophecies that is to be the body of the information for the Order of the White Dove, which will happen in September when the dove arrives. That's all I was told. Again, the most extraordinary mysteries that have been coming through in preparation for this birth of the Order of the White Dove on the North American continent. Now, I believe Hertek saw that about 30 years ago, you know, and lots of these prophecies were really, really valid because I encountered them, but Mother changed them as we went onto our ascension process. But the dove over this continent that he overlaid, there were 13 tribes that kept the secret of the restoration of the magic of the dove that will come forth. One of the tribes, for instance, were the Montauk Indians. They were totally exterminated. Some of them still are in hiding. They have the last name of Pharaoh. But
I don't know that they have that secret anymore, but there were a couple of tribes, one of them in the St. Lawrence Island in Alaska, and let me see, it's 2.5 weeks ago. Mother sent me to Juneau to gather two sacred objects for this order to be formed in September from two of the Indian tribes. The one is 1,800 years old. The other one is over 1,000 years old. And then there was a third one, actually, that is for the dove itself, which I'm not quite clear on at this point, but I will keep it. That is a staff that came from one of the chiefs from the previous century. But she sent me to go and get them, just like the Irish masters. I had to take all these sacred objects to them. And, you know, it's coming.
It's coming. It's coming. Speaking of change, in, let's see, Journey to Heart of the God, you talk about, no, I don't want to go there. I want to go to, let's see, what book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms? Or, yes, in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, I believe it is. Correct me if I'm not right. You talk about the laws of attraction. No, it's Journey to the Heart of God, isn't it? That the laws of attraction have changed, changes in cosmic law.
Actually, that's the Ring of Truth that Mother had me start to write in August of last year.
Okay.
Because the changes in polarity that so has changed life, everything has changed as a result. Compassion, everything. But that changed in August, and so Mother told me to write the Ring of Truth and explain the changes.
So how do you explain the changes?
Oh, my goodness. It's very wonderful news for lightworkers, Rain.
I hope so.
Oh, it's about time.
Yeah.
Before this...
paid our dues,
we have,
sister.
And you know why? Because before August, opposite matter and energy were attracted. Same light and frequency were attracted, but because we were more carnally oriented, we were attracting into our life people with such duplicity and such deceit.
Oh, yes.
And in many instances, great lights in terms of little physical babies were attracted into homes where the opposite was the case. Because opposite matter, opposite energy attracted. Well, in August that changed. And so many light workers are telling me the same wonderful story of, you have no idea how my life has changed. I'm pulling in people that support me. You know,
yeah.
I have more affluence. I have more ease in the way I learn.
Yeah.
Because people around me are providing me lovingly with these lessons. We are now more prone to attract this. Well, the same energy and same matter attracts. Now, this is important for the healers. Because before August of last year, the healing modalities that worked with energy,
such as Reiki and...
Well, I don't want to name the names, you know,
okay.
but they
yeah.
were... In fact, I was present in August when Mother severed the sources of power of many of these healing modalities, because she said that well-meaning practitioners would send energy with these symbols to patients, and it would in fact cause disease because they didn't know that the poles had changed. Up until August, to do any kind of energy healing was a wonderful idea because healing energies were attracted by distorted or diseased energies and so forth. But in August, when that changed, she had to sever the power behind those things, because suddenly if somebody sent a healing energy to someone with a disease, it would be repelled. Opposite matter and energy now repels. So people really need to feel that icky, sick feeling in their stomach when they're near certain people.
Yeah.
And just a feeling like you want to go the other way.
I know it.
Listen to it, because it's that exact principle at work. But she came in August and she gave a healing modality that's called the Gift of the Mother. And it's Bel Vas Pa Ta. BelVasPata. And in Mother's language, that means healing of the heart.
Stop right there for just a minute. Let's come back to that. We need to take a break.
Sure.
at, it's, yeah, time right now, guys, engineers, and we will come back to Bel Vas Pata, and Almin will further explain that. Almin, get a drink of water and rest for a second. We'll be right back. Hey, and thanks so much for staying with us. Welcome back. This is Talk Truth Radio. My very special guest is Almin this evening. And Almin, we have a caller before we get back to Bel Vas Pata. And I love the way that sounds. It resonates through my body. But Almin, we have a caller, and I'd like to welcome her on the show. Good evening, and can I have a name, please?
Hello, Rain. This is Pat Childers calling from Missouri.
I can't hear you very well. Who is this, please?
I said, hi, Rain. This is Pat Childers calling from Missouri.
Well, hi there. How are you?
How are you doing? This is the first time. No, this is the first time I've done this, and I was just introduced to this today, and so I found you and I called.
Well, I'm excited. And are do you know Almeen?
No, I do not. I know you.
You do know me, yes. Well, yes. Almeen is our guest tonight, and we're talking about Ascension and her new books and her work. So this is a fabulous show, and it's really, really nice to hear from you.
Yes, and this is my type of information, too.
I
know it is. So I was thrilled that this is what you were talking about tonight.
Have you been listening to the show?
A little bit. I just now learned how to do this.
Well, cool. I'm glad to have you on. Nice to hear from you. Funny, I was thinking about you just a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, you know what? I ought to just give her a call and see how she is.
And that's exactly how it's working now in the new Ascension times.
Yeah.
You think of someone, and then you hear from them.
And there it is, yes.
Yes.
So is there anything that you would like to ask Almeen, or did you just call in to say hi, Rain?
Well, I called in to say hi, Rain, but I also, my question would be, in the Ascension process, what's the newest info?
Did she ask for the newest info?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, my sister, what I've given so far on the show today regarding the stages and what lies indeed beyond Ascension, that the God Kingdom is available to those who make the leap beyond the Ascended Mastery levels, it is the first time that this has been mapped out. I have, in fact, very carefully mapped the changes that happen as the fields transfigure. Around the bodies, and during the God consciousness stages, for example, the emotional bodies transfigure. During the ascended mastery stages, it's the mental body. Now, I hope I'm on the same page as you. Are you talking about the ascension of people, or were you referring to the cosmic ascension?
And if I might just break in here for 1 second, Pat, to let you know that this show is archived. And we, in the first hour or half hour now of this show, 45 minutes almost, we have talked all about becoming, well, not all about, but a lot about becoming immortal. And if you would like to go to the site probably tomorrow afternoon sometime and hear the first part of it, I think that's the meat that you're looking for, where Almeen talks about the stages. So go back to the front page of bbsradio.com and follow the instructions, and you'll be able to listen to the archived show up to this
okay.
point.
Well, it was really nice meeting you, and
nice
it was nice
you
talking
too, my
to you,
sister.
And I hope to talk to you for real really soon.
Yeah, you will. Now listen to the rest of the show, okay?
Okay.
All right, Pat. Nice to talk to you. Love you, babe.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, okay. Almeen, let's continue on with Bel Vas Patah. I just like to say it.
Yes. And my sister, if some of the masters that I work with have, in fact, created a website where they can go and take a look at it.
Okay.
Bel Vas Patah works with light and frequency, whereas previously energy was drawn to its opposite. Now it is being repelled. Well, the repelling of healing energies is in fact what disease is. So you can see that energy healing, had Mother not stepped in, could in fact have produced more disease after August of last year because of the reversal in poles. But, you know, before August of last year, people used to say to me, in fact, I remember one lady contacting me and asking me for my email list because she wanted to ask everybody to send light and love to the Far East and to the Middle East. And I said to her, sorry, you know, I'm not going to do that. And I know that she thought I was perhaps a bit callous, but see, before August, if we send light and love, and before August, opposites, they're repelled. After August, the opposites attracted in light and love. After August, that would have worked. Before August, what we had to send was energy, because, you know, it would have repelled light and love, and the repelling of light is actually what chaos is. So To make a long story short, the Bellevue-Spital functions with light and frequency. And it functions with the 12 pure frequencies of the cosmos, that after we had reached a certain level of ascension, those pure frequencies were reinstated by Mother to replace four distortions that we had as emotions. Fear, anger, pain, and protectiveness. And she instated the 12 pure frequency pairs that pulse each other. That is what Bellevue-Spital works with. Mother has given it herself. When people come to my classes, because of the rapid changes that happen to them because of what they're exposed to, they leave as masters. In other words, their mind is silenced. And so as such, they can be given the mastery level of Bellevue-Spital. Otherwise, there is a waiting period between the levels. But the self-initiation is given in the Ring of Truth. It was such a gift from Mother. It was not my intention to make money off of it. It simply is a gift to the world. And they can self-initiate themselves, and it's in the Ring of Truth.
I want that book. I want this to happen. But now, please.
It is, because it's come straight from the goddess specifically for the correct time and polarity and frequencies, it is the most powerful healing modality on earth. I can say that one without a doubt.
I want to talk about something here too, Almeen, and I hope, it is my hope, that, or my trust, that people take this exactly the way I mean it, and it's from a place of discernment and not from a place of judgment. When we're talking about the old way of healing using energy, many of the healers, many, many of the teachers that are out there now, I've really been looking at, and I want to preface what I'm going to say with, this did not become clear to me until I made the transition with food in my body, eating organically. The change that that made is beyond words, and it revealed many things to me, one of them this. Many of the teachers and the healers, as I said, are very, very unhealthy. They are very, very overweight. Big bellies descended out. I know that, and I'll use the word gut, I know that the gut is filled with toxins, and many people are bringing in their information through very toxic filters and giving that same toxic out. Do you have another way of thinking of this? Are you in agreement with me that this is something that really needs to be dealt with now? Because it's one of the main things that I'm teaching. I teach a formula, and I really would like to learn all about every... I want to study with you again so that I know more about what I'm teaching. But this is one of the things that has been given to me in the last few years. And you know, my sister, I worked very hard, if you will, at getting there myself. It wasn't an easy transition from eating all of the good things that I've loved. I'm a gourmet cook. I can make a French white wine cream sauce with the best of them. I just can't eat it anymore. Are you there with me? What do you say about the way we feed our bodies?
Well, my sister, there's two opinions on what you've said. First of all, you know, we've just been speaking about this issue of the reverse in polarity.
Yes.
It is so conducive to healthful eating for light workers in the following way. If before August, like I said, the opposite energies and opposite matter attracted, the greater the light worker, the more their propensity for absorbing toxins. Can you see that? Because they would be attracted to each other.
Yeah, I must have been enormous.
Because the lighter you were, the more toxins were attracted, you see. But now it is the opposite. And it is our toxins are excreted far more easily, and nutrition is far more readily absorbed. Because the same good energies, the pure, clear energies, are going to be attracted, and physical food is going to be absorbed better by light workers. Absorption was a major problem amongst almost everyone that came to me for problems with various issues in their body. It almost always began with malabsorption. Because of how irritated the bowel was from genetically engineered grains and various other things, and excess starches, for example. But the malabsorption also was due to the fact that the lighter the worker, the more difficult it was to absorb light food, because same was repelling at that point. Now it isn't. So that's number one. The second opinion that I just want to throw out there, when people are in identity consciousness, to release toxins from their body is enormously helpful because it traps light. At the same time, when you move into the higher stages, so in other words, healthful eating is going to help you get to the higher stages. When you move to the very high stages of ascended mastery and beyond, and I really mean from immortality onward, which as we saw is that second phase of ascended mastery, if you move from immortality beyond, it really doesn't matter what you eat. Because you see, you really don't need to eat. Your body is feeding itself. So whatever you eat, it doesn't really matter. Your body won't hold toxins. It just has too much light. The second thing that happens is that when you start going through these mastery levels, your body will automatically detoxify. I remember before I went into my ascended mastery's first phase that the toxins were coming out of my skin. I could smell dental anesthetics. I could smell, oh my gosh, it was ghastly. I was bathing 3 times a day. And it lasted for 3 months, and at the end of the detoxification process, in the most amazing experience, I entered that stage. So, yes, it helps you get there, and once you're there, toxins won't stay in your body no matter what you eat or what you don't eat, because of the fact that you have so much light. Toxins, exactly what you're saying, indicate that there's not enough light in the body. And they also trap light. So your assessment of light worker teachers that are unhealthy is in fact accurate.
How will I know? All right, let me ask it this way. Am I correct that at this point in my life I should be eating very live? I don't feel that I have gotten to the place yet where it no longer matters what I eat. I just left a place a few months ago of where it mattered very much what I ate. And, you know, on this show I've been talking for several months now about losing many sizes and my body really regenerating, changing. I look at pictures that were taken of me even 4 or 5 months ago that I look now like I'm 15 years younger.
Yes. My sister, there's two ways to know. First of all, when painkiller anesthetics, things like that, don't work for you anymore, I mean totally not work. I remember I had a gland that was blocked on my nose, and it was growing a little bigger, and I was in the middle of a book, and I just looked. Could they just get rid of it, just cut it out or something? Because I didn't have the time to deal with it. It would have taken me possibly 2 weeks, and it was quite large. So I went. You know, they gave me 2 Valiums. One they thought should really do it. By the second one, I was still sitting there writing an article for Sedona Journal. They finally said, well, I guess we have to sort of do this with local anesthetic. They finally just had to cut it out. Nothing worked. When you're at that stage where nothing works, neither does food. But there is this issue. The more you're living in light and higher frequency, the more actually the other just doesn't appeal to you. You know, the eclairs filled with cream and this and that, it just doesn't appeal to one.
No, none of that really appeals to me. I couldn't imagine myself eating a piece of meat or, you know, a donut or anything like that. I live on Sunrider, which is food-grade herb. I know, I'm very sure, that the body knows how to heal everything if we put food in it so that it has the energy to do that. Do you think that I'm correct, that I should be eating very live for myself right now, for where I am?
My sister, whether you should or not is not even the point. The point is that you won't even be attracted to the other. It just doesn't work for monsters.
Okay. Okay. Excuse me. All right. Let's see. Where do I want to go now?
There's... Well, could I suggest that maybe we should at least tell the listeners how you silence the dialogue of the mind to make
Absolutely.
Those leaps? Is that okay with
Perfect.
You?
Perfect. Perfect.
All right. Well, there are three ways that I have found, because in my classes right now, they are populated by people that are not in dialogue anymore. And when we get together, it is this wonderful bliss and release. And our classes are open to new people. One of the ways that I never knew was an issue till it started happening about a year ago. I didn't know one could achieve it this way. But when you are in a class surrounded by those that either are in the upper echelons of the human kingdom or have moved beyond, my sister, you come in there in the ego identity, you walk out of there in the silence of the mind, because the group mind of the whole group and the exquisite holiness of being in their presences has done it. So there is the issue, and also, might I add, the tremendous experiences, because we are given these incredible holy assignments by Mother, and their task for the cosmos is rewarded by having it happen through grace. So the through grace is one way. The second state is for those that are very much right brain oriented, you know, didn't remember where they put their notes in school and had a tough time in college, but were always good in art class. And
that's me.
Okay. For those people, a very good way to do it is through love, praise, and gratitude. Those are the three ascension attitudes. I've written copiously about them in my books. Love and praise and gratitude as attitudes are any one of those engaged in every second of your day for even a couple of weeks can catapult one in with the level that the earth is at right now. And so that is for people that are more that way inclined. Then there is the third way, and the third way, not the other ways, the other way absolutely are part of what my work as well, but the third way has been my forte, and it's my strong suit. If you can stretch the mind of somebody that you're teaching far enough that a reason can't cope anymore while giving them loving support so that they don't enter into fear, if you can stretch and stretch and stretch their mind, if finally that logical mind has to admit that it has to give up, it cannot control the process. And so, you know, when people ask me, I mean, you give all these advanced insights about how we were created, and for instance, there's a book at the printer right now that will be out in 2 weeks called The Gift of the Unicorns. And the second half of the book, The History Keepers of Our Planet, gives the history of the planet's origins in a faraway star system. Apparently the ancient Egyptians knew about it, because I translated an Egyptian papyrus that speaks of those origins for the book, but the point is to think such big thoughts, A, it releases the hold of reason and logical mind, and it silences the dialogue. B, what it does is any time perception is that enhanced, it pulls in personal power. And you need to have accumulated a certain amount of personal power to make that leap into mastery that is there. The old way was more lengthy. And up until the Earth ascension into higher realms, the old way was that you painfully and painstakingly recapitulate the events of your life to understand exactly why, where the things happened that happened. And you do it by tracing the knee-jerk reactions of your day, finding where that event first started to be that way, and, you know, that button first developed that gets pushed. And so as you get the understanding from the pain and the opposition of your life, you build up enough power, and one day, bing, you shoot across and you end up being in the place of mastery. And I did make a CD set that is available called The Path to Freedom Level 1 that will help people with that technique. But it's, you know, there are other ways too.
You and I had talked about you coming to Phoenix. Do you think that might happen sometime soon?
I'm so sorry, my sister, I was coughing. Could you just tell me one more time what you asked?
I've been coughing, too. You know, that's funny. For the last three shows, when it comes time to do the show, I have a toad in my throat.
Well, I am unfortunately in the last room. A local hotel had left, and I had to get in here to be on time for your radio show, and it's a smoker's room. And so it's not the most pleasant environment. But my sister, sorry, please repeat the question.
Okay. I forgot what the question was. I forgot what I was going to talk to you about. Oh, I know. Phoenix. You and I had talked about you coming here to do a workshop, a teaching. Do you think that might happen by the end of this year or by the beginning of next year?
Where I go is determined really whether there is somebody that is a crackerjack that, as a labor of love, will sit down and organize an event for me that has a certain amount of you know, a certain number of people coming. And we can always cancel it if we see ahead of time that is not about to happen. But I have my own radio show on the internet out of Phoenix.
Right.
You know, so it is a place that I would love to come, even just to see you.
I would love that, too. And tell us about your radio show. When is that on? What time? What station?
Well, my sister, they can... I did the first 13 weeks on the kingdoms, sharing with them the kingdoms of the beings that I encountered. The next 13 weeks was on spirituality and relationship. And I'm just getting ready now to do a show on principles of the cosmos. For instance, awareness that has changed. And these things will be for the next 13 weeks. So where they can go to is Voice America is the actual sponsor, and then it's called Seventh Wave Network. And you go to Voice America and you go to Seventh Wave Network and you just scroll down to Almin, and again, it's all in the archives. So it's, you know, I don't even need to tell them when it is. They can pick and choose which show they want to listen to.
Way cool. Okay. And then if they'd like to listen to you live, can they do that?
Yes.
Or do you pre-record?
Well, I actually pre-record some of them and some not.
Okay.
Because I travel quite a bit, so that's the case.
Okay. So just Voice America and then Seventh Wave Network and scroll down and find Almin.
Yes.
So they're all archived on there. And you will be talking for these next 13 weeks on the principles of the cosmos.
Yes. You know, actually, it's Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific time. And there's on the 22nd, that's a Wednesday, on that day there will be an interview with the Ascended Masters from Ireland of the Order of the White Rose. And then the week after, we start to explore the deep mystical principles that govern the cosmos, such as awareness. You know, with the poles changing, compassion has completely changed.
Let's talk about that, Almi.
Yes.
Let's back up for a second and talk about the poles changing.
Okay. This issue of compassion, see, if opposites before attracted, not only was our light so attracted to those who wanted to prey on us, but in the same time, you know, our form of compassion was like a light that shone, and so many moths clustered around it that eventually we forgot we were shining. But it was to bring light to the moths in a very direct physical way. Well, now, that same physical and same energy attracts. An opposite energy and matter repels. What it is that the pure frequencies have been reinstated in the cosmos. They are exquisite. They are inspiration, service, enlightenment, joy, fun, passion, all these wonderful things. So you and I are of like energy, and so our physicality is, as you have pointed out, more purified because we hold more light. So we have light matter, we have light energy. When we're together, just like when those masters gather in my classes and we always have new people coming in, but by the end of that week, they're part of our light family. When we're together, when the day's wonderful, intense work is done, we play, we sing, we dance, you know, we cook, we do all sorts of fun things together. Well, there is so much joy and so much expression of fun and humor and laughter. Those pure frequencies and the light that we generate because we're happy together because of this sameness immediately goes to the most the places on earth that are the most in need of light, of fun, of laughter, of joy, of love. It automatically goes there because with frequency and light, opposites now attract. So in other words, our compassion no longer requires us to put up with being in the presence or having those invade our sacred space that we feel not comfortable with. Our compassion instead is to live fully and joyously in the presence of those that are. Days of martyrdom are over. And when we are with those people, it automatically goes to those who need it. Isn't that wonderful?
It is. I am so very happy. I'm happy that so many of these things are finished.
Yes.
That we just don't have to do it anymore. I remember sitting maybe perhaps months ago saying that I was telling this to someone that I had said to Spirit, I would really like to be done having people as my clients that only want to know what's going to happen in their future. I have worked as a psychic healer, you know, and as you know, for many years now. And I've just been, and when I say this, it doesn't mean that I don't want to help the people that are not awakened yet. I do. But I want the people to come to me that are of the mindset that says, I desire this and I'm not getting it. Help me see where my blocks are. Or, I know I have these blocks. Help me see where they are. Instead of the people that come and say, does he love me? If I have another baby by him, will it keep him with me? Is that the best thing to do? That kind of stuff.
Rain, I can so identify. I stopped doing any phone consultations exactly because of that. The quality of my life was worth more than that.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And now I ask Mother to send me people that are ready to take on real rejuvenation, real regeneration. It's no joke. Feeding your body, filling your mind with things that are of a different frequency, as you say.
You know, Rain, something extraordinary happened 2 days ago.
Tell me.
You know, if you read in Revelations, in several places, I think, in the New Testament, Christ speaks of the Book of Life.
Yes.
Well, the Book of Life is, in fact, the book that Mother writes the highest wisdom in. And then she sends it through different realms so that the highest wisdom that has been gained can be lived by all. But do you know that the place where it has been gained is in physicality? Because up until 2 days ago, the only place where all new information was gained that is truly new is at the cutting edge at physical life. So it's in material life. That is why we have been such a hot spot, because the Earth is the densest levels of physical life. And therefore, this is where growth originates. So, you know, Mother finally said, you don't have to carry the growth of the cosmos by yourselves anymore.
Oh, thank you. And two days ago,
she said that henceforth, all realms have the self-responsibility that you're talking of to evolve the evolution of all life by accessing directly all new information. Now, I say it simply, there were massive changes that had to be made to get this to actually happen. But isn't that wonderful? Because it's exactly what you're talking about.
It is. Yes. It is. I have taken so many steps, and it's interesting that when you're in the middle of the step, you think, oh, is this happening? Is this happening soon enough? I have to get to the other side of this. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you are, and you've been on the other side of it for some time, and it just feels completely different. Everything, as you and I talked about earlier before we started the show, everything now is about the mother. Everything is about the feeling body. Because, you know, in what I have grown through all of this to see is that the feelings or the mother aspect of everything, the goddess, has been so pushed to the back, and we have really forgotten how we create.
Oh, you're so right. You know, in the Gift of the Unicorns, the second part of it, the history of the fall is given, and it explains exactly how the mother got totally pushed aside. Patriarchal rule, it brings separation consciousness and hence descension. When the Earth started to reverse, like turning a corner into this ascension that it's leading the cosmos in, because it is the densest physical element, and, you know, for years I've said it is here where growth has to begin, at the lowest level, because so many light workers live out of their bodies. And then they don't grow, because it's in the physical where growth has been. Well, what happened is when we started into ascension, the mother regained the place where she is holding the reins. She should hold the reins because she is the one being expressing as the many.
Right.
She is everything. She is masculine and feminine, but the feminine is more prevalent in the cosmos and hence in her. And it is the feminine that births, and she births creation.
Interesting. I had a vision maybe last year of reaching what in the vision called the plane of reversal. So I'm listening to what you're saying, seeing that as my vision of the plane of reversal. We have gone all the way out, and now we're on the way back.
Yes.
Or we are back.
Yes, yes.
You say in one of your books, I'm not sure, Journey to the Heart of God, maybe, that Earth is the model for existence. Am I correct in this?
Yeah, I've said it in actually almost every book, Rain, so you can sort of pick one.
Okay.
But it is absolutely true. And now, the fascinating thing is in the Isis Mysteries, the Isis book will be called Opening the Doors of Heaven, and I would imagine it would be available around maybe November, December, as late as January, perhaps. But Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revealing the Mysteries of Isis, it's the release of the information of the Order of the White Rose. Now, what it says in there is that the Earth, why the Earth is so special, the Earth is in fact the cradle of civilization. When first the Mother was, and she individuated within the vast oceans of consciousness that is her also, she formed herself a form. The Earth was the first planet that she made. And the beautiful thing of it is, in the other book, which is an entirely different body of information revealed by a kingdom that we forgot, they call themselves the Lost Kingdom, and their name is the Darklings. They're tiny, tiny, minute beings of vast power that live in the depths of the oceans, and they give off light. And so they Mother asked them to keep the history of the planet, and it speaks of how the planet came from star system to star system, and oftentimes she was repelled out of star systems, and when she hit the membrane, it tore. Because, see, you remember I said when we went through the ascension process how I was given this task of opening gates in the membranes? You can't just tear a membrane and push through. It creates, in fact, a fall. So, Mother Earth was very instrumental in the fall happening, but it was not her fault. She was repelled. So, but she was the cradle of civilization, the first planet that Mother made, and throughout all the ages, Mother's love for her has been supreme. This is why the Earth is so important. Mother has taken up abode here, and, you know, at some time in the future, every eye will see that. But right now, you know, we don't see her yet, and her New Jerusalem is what the Revelations calls it, although it attributes it to a male god living there. But this New Jerusalem, many of the masters in my class have seen it. Mother is here on Earth, and the Earth is the pivot point of the cosmos because it was the original planet that Mother made for herself. Rain, are you there? Hey guys, sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty there. Almin was talking about tearing the membrane, and I was so following so good, and then it went dead. I had a dial tone. So
Will you please go back to that?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I was explaining that the history of the Earth tearing the mystery was kept by the Darklings, a forgotten kingdom that lived in the bottom of the oceans. They still live there. But unlike the fairies and the dragons and so on, our mythology didn't even remember them. They kept the history of the Earth's journey. And the same information is given by the Isis mysteries, that in fact the Earth was the first home that Mother created for herself. And that the Mother at this time is in fact living on Earth. In Revelations, it speaks of the New Jerusalem coming. Christ gave that revelation to John of Patmos at Patmos, the Isle of Patmos. But he speaks, you know, who knows who translated it which way, but it speaks of the male God sitting on the throne and reigning on Earth. But in fact, it is the Goddess. She is already here. The palace has already been built, and I was saying that several of the masters in my classes have seen it, and some have actually felt it, although their hands are going through. But at some point, our hands will not go through as we continue to live in higher and higher light.
I mean, I've seen this. I've seen her temple. I've seen her house. I've been there.
Oh, how wonderful.
How could I see this and not be in your group?
Oh, my sister, light workers all over the earth are knowing that Mother is here, that the temple is there, that the wonderful palace, call it the New Jerusalem if we want to, is on earth. Some have even managed to photograph pieces of it. It's masters everywhere are getting the testimony that this is the case. Because we have to help dream it into physicality.
What do I need to do to help do this? And I know I'm interrupting you, but is there something in particular I need to do?
Part of it is that Mother needs to become more real to everyone. To the best of my ability, I have written very, very carefully the revelations given by Mother. Like in the Isis book, many of the pages are her words directly to mankind. You know, and I wrote in the closing of the book the great privilege it was to have been the scribe for what truly is modern-day scripture being produced. These massive changes are happening around us. Life is being purified and purified. There are better places to focus than on the war in the Middle East that they insist on having.
Yes. Do you think that's the only way to help all of that to disappear?
I really do, Rain.
Yeah.
Mother said in August of last year, there is no more illusion. And I said, what does that mean? And the answer was, all unknown portions of my being have now been solved. The mystery is forever, but the unknown portions have been solved. Meaning that the journey of discovery now is a pleasant one. And then, of course, the question was, why are people then still living illusions like war? And she said, because they focus on it, and there are warmongers that love it for their own purposes. So they are clinging to something, but it isn't real. And then the question is, what is not real mean? What does it really mean? Whenever there is something, like I had one of the gods actually borrowed a pen of mine that was on the table. Well, he took the etheric part out of the pen. So sometimes the pen would be there, sometimes it wouldn't, and then eventually the pen would disappear. That's because the pen's real part was removed. When the illusion was solved, the real parts of this was removed. The more we focus on it, the more we keep this unreal in place. And I know that there are people dying over there. But that is because they believe in it.
Right.
Or they wouldn't be there.
Yes.
So it is truly, if we can focus and bring in as light workers that which is, that is the best way to assist.
We are coming close to the end of our time. I would keep you on here for another hour and a half, if that were possible. and I know it's not. I know that you've had a long day. You've been traveling. You have been doing many things, and that you had to hurry and get into a hotel to do this show. But I want to ask you to book another show with me. My first show on Sunday night is the 19th, and that is next Sunday coming. And so that show is only going to be an hour long. We're going to call it Ascension Road.
How beautiful.
And that show, I really want you to come on. Will you please?
My sister, is it, today is Wednesday. Is it the first Sunday we encounter?
Yes, the next, well, no, it'll be the following. This is the 15th. Yes, the next Sunday is the 19th. And I know that's fast notice. If you can't
No, I can do that, actually.
You can?
Because I will be in another hotel room on my way to Ireland. Yes, but I will be in the hotel room if you give me the time. And, again, you know, my assistant is a good one to call for that. I'll make sure I'm in that hotel room on time. I would love to share another hour with you and your listeners.
And how apropos for my first show called Ascension Road, and I have you coming on. I am excited. It's 8:30 p.m. Arizona time, California, your time now. Do I need to get a hold of Hilda?
Please, if you can do that, and I will get that from her.
Okay.
And I so look forward to it. I'm very honored to be on your first show, my precious one.
I love you so much. And listen, just before I let you go, the website is spiritualjourneys.com. Now, isn't there, I know your site has been completely redone. I'm on it. It's fabulous. Is there another web address?
No, it's just www.spiritualjourneys, with the N-E-Y-S at the end, all one word, .com. And if they search either for Almine, which is A-L-M-I-N-E, or for Spiritual Journeys, they will get there.
I want to close with the last thing that we can talk about this evening. We have just a few minutes. I was very interested in hearing about what you mean about things need to pulse so that they're not stagnant.
All life must pulse to maintain what's called a dynamic balance. Without it, stagnation occurs. And we pulse between doingness and beingness. If we are a man or a woman, we need to pulse between the receptive feminine parts of ourself, the masculine proactive parts of ourself. Even in our emotions, there are these polarities between which we pulse. And the deeper we pulse into the one, the more we can experience the other. It is the way of dynamic living.
How exciting. You make little duck bumps on my arms.
I haven't heard duck bumps before.
Little duck bumps. And, you know, I have a lot of Native American blood. I look like I'm Irish, but I have a lot of Native American blood. And we don't have very much hair on our bodies, you know. So if I had hair, it would stand up.
Well, I've adopted the most beautiful, full-blooded little Native American daughter that I've had for 8 years, and I'm a single mom with her, and our life is filled with joy.
I wanted to ask you about her. I did mean to ask you how that is, and I know it's wonderful, isn't it? I know it is.
It has been wonderful.
Yeah. Well, my sister, I love you. I will so look forward to the 19th with you. And all of you folks listening out there, Almin will be joining me on the 19th, our first show, Ascension Road. We come on at 8:30 p.m. And I love you, and thank you so much for
doing
this show.
Thank you, Ray. My love to your listeners.
Good evening.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have said goodnight to Almeen. What an awesome woman. What an awesome show this was. I trust and pray that all of you out there listening to this show got something that you needed to further your journey in ascension. And I hope that you'll join me on the 19th for another hour with Almeen. We'll get in deeper. Okay, we're going to go to break. We're going to bring Dr. Sandra Rose Michael on. And I don't know what we're going to be talking about. And I don't know who's coming on with her. So sit tight. Don't touch that dial or that mouse, if you will. And we'll be back with the rest of the show in just a few minutes. So hang on. Hey, all right, and thanks so much for staying with us. This is Talk Truth Radio. I'm Dr. Rain Morgan. I'm your host, and we have our most benevolent sponsor on with us, Dr. Sandra Rose Michael. Hi.
Hey, aloha.
Aloha. How are you?
Yeah, back in Hawaii again after good trips, good travels.
Are you glad to be home?
Glad to be home.
Yeah.
Very, very happy to be home.
Are you hanging out down swimming with the dolphins?
Yep, already did that since being back.
Have to get down there and say hi to the kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like my pet dolphins over here.
I know. It was so cool one night you and I were talking on the phone, and you were sitting down there, and I could hear the wind blowing through your phone, and I could hear the dolphins making their little chattering sounds. Do they actually come over and touch you?
No, but they come as close as they can.
Do they?
And spray water at me and things like that.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah, try to get my attention.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fun.
Well, there's a lot going on again. You are getting ready to go to Asia.
Uh-huh. Headed to Japan. Okinawa. Yeah.
What's happening? What's going on?
Oh, well, that's all good. We're getting ready to launch in Japan, going into Tokyo. There are doctors that I've worked with there over the years that are very excited about starting research with our technology, about bringing that in. And they always wanted me to have a base in Okinawa. We're also working on bringing forward the product line from there as far as the secrets of longevity from Okinawa, which is going to be very exciting. Okinawa actually has the greatest longevity of any people in the world, the greatest longevity. The last time I was there, I had my pictures taken with people out on their tractors or just very, very active, 108 years old, 104 years old, and just delightful spirits. I mean, just amazing. So, and there's actual secrets, and this is from the royalty or I'm literally hosted by a prince there. But and it's the secrets that have been of that longevity. One of those being something called Ava More, of all things, which is...
What's it called?
Ava More.
Ava More.
Yeah. And that's a very fun thing in that it's an alcohol, like a sake, but it's stronger than sake. Ava More is made from rice bran. And so it's very, very high in the antioxidant potential.
Oh, yeah.
Like the pycnogenols and things like that. And it's one of their secrets of longevity is this drink of, it's like a sake. And it's been in their families for generations of how to do this and made from the rice bran. So
it would be a fermented rice bran.
Uh-huh. A fermented rice bran, I mean, almost like a whiskey, but not like that, but a much stronger alcohol content. The first time they gave it to me when I was in Okinawa, they said, oh, here, this is our local sake, and like sake, it's Ava More, a secret of longevity. And I was used to sake, but I took a sip of that, and, oh, my gosh, I thought you said this was sake. Knocking your socks off.
Knocking your sakis off.
Oh, gosh. But they put it with, traditionally, they put it with an alkaline water with ice, and then it's very mild, a wonderful thing. And then there's things like, there's seaweeds, there are mizuku seaweeds, and, special mushrooms and different things. So we're going to do the Secrets of Longevity from Okinawa. It's working on the product line from there. And also in other products from Asia, so I'll be doing, from Malaysia, one's a wild berry that, I mean, literally grows in, the pristine areas that's wild, but it's a CoQ10 berry. It's a berry juice that's very, very high in CoQ10. So amazing stuff. And also Bonaba is another one of those secrets that works with, it's carboxylic acid, but it works with the blood sugar, which, again, is one of those secrets to anti-aging is maintaining the proper blood sugars. It's, of course, been used there as a cure or a remedy for diabetes, for example.
Yeah.
And, of course, it works, you know, it's such a huge issue, the blood sugar levels, as far as that's linked to all the insulin resistance, syndrome X, et cetera. And, and like, even cancer is a sugar disease. So these are some of the secrets that's what we're going to be doing in Asia. And I just got a call from Panama again today. That's exciting, too, because I was just in Panama with Social Security and Ministry of Health, and spoke at the University of Panama Medical School, where they've asked me to be on faculty, and they're going to start a new program at the medical school on quantic medicine, energy medicine, and they've asked me to teach. And, of course, they're putting our technology in there as well.
Cool.
The other exciting stuff is on the 22nd of this month, we are installing a 24-unit system in a clinic in Tucson. So,
yeah.
Kind of in your back door.
Yeah.
out the back
about,
door somewhere.
Yeah, Tucson's about 2.5 hours away from me.
Yeah. But that
so
may
not
be worth
too far.
The trip.
Yeah, not too far.
Yeah, it'll be going in for a Dr. McCready. And again, we want to be working with Dr. Gary Schwartz of the University of Arizona with some of the research that's going in Dr. McCready's clinic in Tucson. And that will be available for people. So very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. That's very exciting. We'd have somebody or someplace to send people to.
Yes.
Yeah, so they could experience the technology.
Mm-hmm.
EESystem.com, that's where you can go and look at the energy enhancement system. If you are a person who is wanting to purchase this equipment, this technology, put it in your home, sleep in it all night long, you can go to EESystem.com and get information. And then people probably need to email you, too, don't they? Because I don't know if there's full price lists up there.
Pricing is online.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, pricing is on the website.
Okay.
Under systems and configuration specs.
Okay.
So the pricing is there. People
okay.
can get a lot of information online, and then they may want to talk to us. So they can email us off the website, or they can email me at sandra@eesystems.com.
Now, interesting question here to me. If one purchases the system, it's delivered to their house, are they able to set this technology up and cause it to run by themselves? Or is there special delivery, installation, kind of like when we got the 60-inch TV? You know?
Right. Or kind of like your surround sound.
Yeah. It
or
took
the theater,
a full crew.
The home theater.
It wasn't anything I could have done. Even if I'd have wanted to.
It's more like that. Each installation is a custom installation because of the precision of the alignment for the proper setup. And it's custom to each location as far as how it goes in. And so that, you know, we do send somebody out to make sure it's installed properly. And actually with this 24-unit system going in, Dr. Greg Gerber is going to come up from Houston and be there to oversee the installation and work with the doctor there to make sure
To Tucson?
In Tucson, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so, and also, you know, I know you've had the connection with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, so.
Yes.
Yeah, I know he's very excited about our technology and is still planning on getting it himself. At least this will be close to him.
So is he going to be there?
I believe so.
Okay.
We haven't coordinated timing yet. But
are we having a party?
I think this is a planetary party. We're most excited about the 24-unit systems versus like the 4s or the 8s or the 12s.
Yeah.
The 24 units is really major shift for the planetary healing.
Yeah, this is what we used to call full tilt boogie.
Yeah. In a quantum leap of consciousness, because these are conscious fields of consciousness that it generates that are extremely bioactive, so you have the personal benefits, but the bigger picture is really the planetary benefits and what it does with the grid and things like that. So, she's great. You had a great show with Almeen?
Oh, I had a wonderful show. And she sends her love to you. And, you know, she's the awesome. She just really is the awesome. But I have a question. So when a huge system like this 24-unit system is set up, it doesn't just affect the house and the surrounding area around it. It affects the entire grid system. For how local of an area would it affect?
Well, you know, we like efficiency. Let's do the whole planet.
Okay, so that 24-unit system is going to affect the whole planet.
Yeah, no, it's really a planetary influence. And it gets very exciting. Of course, we're seeing, you know, such wonderful things, you know, as far as personal level, you know, individuals and what they're experiencing. And I just got a call from my gentleman that's sleeping in an 8-unit in Vermont, you know, going, thank you isn't enough. He says, I don't know what to say. There are no words. Thank you's not enough. And he just wanted, you know, he's seen such dramatic improvements. He was scheduled to go on dialysis, and he's tried everything, and he's doing, like, really well. And so he called to say that he's really committed to supporting, you know, this going out to more people. So that was a nice call, and got an email from somebody else about, you know, 14-year-old whose lupus was in remission after 1 2-hour session. And
wow, after 1 2-hour session.
Yeah, so that's what we live for. And also they did no longer needed their pancreatitis was so healed that they no longer needed pancreatic surgery. That's another example. Of course, Greg's talked about his quadriplegics and paraplegics, and, you know, full spinal cord injuries that have full function. You know, the nerve regeneration is so well supported because the power that made the body heals the body. When the body has the right energy, it'll regenerate anything and everything.
Yeah.
So we just had a great talk in Chicago for the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. Wish you could have joined us. It was a great event, very, very well received for my talk and with the doctors. We were the busiest booth there, I think, and lots of great things happening as far as working with a clinic with stem cell research, which I'm very excited about, out of Mexico. They're beginning the technology in there. So very exciting stuff. You know, so wish you could have joined us in Chicago. Maybe you'll join us for the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine in Vegas. That's going to be
I have plans to be there in Vegas.
Yeah, that'll be a good party. 7,000 to 8,000 doctors. You know, the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine is the largest, fastest growing medical specialty in the world, or medical association. So, which is very exciting. And I'm also speaking next month at the Royal Society of Medicine in London. I'll be speaking there on September 14th, and we'll have the technology set up in the atrium at the Royal Society of Medicine. So that'll be set up there the 15th and 16th of September.
So you'll be going from Japan to England.
Well, I'll come back to Hawaii in between.
Okay. How long will you be in Japan?
At least a week. So I haven't scheduled everything yet, but anything less than a week is just too short there. And Japan is wonderful. Yeah, I really love it.
How many times have you been to Japan?
Not that many, but this is like the fourth or fifth time.
Not that many? Some people make it once in a lifetime.
Yeah, and Japan's great. You know, really, really love it there. So, and Okinawa is kind of like another Hawaii in that it's, you know, something of a sacred island. You know, very special energies, very healing energies. You know, of course, people have heard more about the coral calcium from there, which is one of the secrets as far as how that alkalinizes, but that's a very, very small piece,
mm-hmm.
you know, compared to a lot of the other secrets of longevity. So that gets very exciting. It's a beautiful island.
Yeah, would be nice to be going there. Yes, it would.
I'm just not looking forward to the plane.
No. How long does it take to get there?
Too long.
Yeah.
And there's nothing healthy about flying.
No. What do you do? Do you get up and move around? And?
Oh, no. They don't allow you to do much of that anymore. You know, they've got you strapped to those horrible seats. You know, they're like strange torture devices after the... And it's a flying dehydrator, a radiator, and, yeah, I'm not healthy.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the stories about Sunrider, and, you know, I talk about Sunrider. I live on Sunrider food. I can only imagine if I got to eat Sunrider and sleep in the technology, I probably could levitate all the way to Scottsdale and back.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cali was researched, that's one of the T's, was researched by NASA with the pilots that fly around the world. And they, I think there were 9 different things, formulas, and that included pharmaceuticals that were used to keep the pilots from clotting. And, of course, experiencing pulmonary embolisms.
Right.
And
Cali
was the one, the only one, that kept the body from clotting.
That's interesting. I'm aware also, that's a good piece. Another piece that is from Japan, and there's been a lot of research as far as for the deep vein thrombosis, et cetera, is natto.
What is it?
Natto, N-A-T-T-O. It's a traditional Japanese food. It's like it's a fermented soybean mix. But the nattokinase, the enzymes in that, have been shown to be the, you know, like the best thing for circulation.
Well, there is fermented soybean in Cali, I believe.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he only uses that which is grown, I believe, in China, because, you know, our soybeans that are grown, as you know, over here and in the rest of the world are in pretty sad shape and pretty poisonous.
Right, yeah. I mean, and they're genetically modified. And
genetically modified.
Yeah, they're really seriously a problem for the body. So, yeah, the form of the soybeans. Nattokinase is another interesting one. I just met Stephen Levine of Allergy Research Group, who really introduced the nattokinase and the research on that to the U.S., and they're looking at putting in the technology for, you know, the EE system for enhancing their products. So there's, you know, there's so much that we can do, and with the flying, that's really important because it is so unhealthy for the body.
Yeah.
You know, just being at altitude, there's a reduction of the oxygen to the body by about 60%. And then they've also cut the oxygen on the planes to be able to, you know, save on fuel, because the less oxygen that they have, the more they can save on fuel.
Well, how do you stay breathing?
Right. And the reality is the reason people fall asleep on the planes then is they're just plain not getting enough oxygen to their brains. And then you've got the circulation cut off from the seats and not being able to move for, you know, like me going to Japan. And if I go from L.A., it's a 12-hour flight or something like that.
Yeah, oh, my.
You know, so that's why people, when they land, you know, I mean, their ankles are swollen. And
right, yeah.
You know, the circulation, but also the radiation, the effects of the radiation, the effect on the thyroid, and the lack of oxygen. It's really, you know, not healthy. And then the other thing is the dehydration. So, you know, some of the most important things is drinking enough water. It's very challenging as far as the way, you know, the way the airline business is. And for people to really stay healthy. But our technology is phenomenal for reversing all those effects and should really be in every terminal as an energy spa, you know, but to it, you know, counteracts all the dehydration because you've got immediate hydration of the cells with the technology. You've got immediate oxygenation and reversal of the effects of radiation and things like that. So perfect circulation. So it becomes very, very important, you know.
Yeah, a person wants to get off of the plane and run right for the nearest chamber.
Yes, absolutely. And you can really see the differences with that with the blood because it becomes very stagnant, aggregate lack of oxygen. You can see it very clearly in the blood right after getting off a plane. If you do the live blood cell analysis, you see what the blood looks like. It's like, oh, my gosh, horrific. And then people have been breathing everybody's crap from around the world, literally,
yeah.
You know, in that closed air system. And so you see all that in the blood, too.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, it takes a lot to do what you do. I would think you would invest in one of those little tanks and just take it on the plane and breathe some oxygen.
Oh, but you're not allowed to bring those on.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's right.
And you used to be able to get oxygen on the plane, but no, you can't do that anymore either. So we just have to do what we can. And but the medical director for NASA, Dr. Wolfgang Hess, has our technology in Las Cruces. So it's another, yes, since you mentioned NASA and their research, and he's researching with our technology as well and doing those blood studies that we talked about. You know, he's an authority on those. So there's lots of great research happening. Very exciting time.
Yeah.
University of Hawaii is getting ready to put it here in their medical school. It's already in the clinic for the professor who's the head of complementary alternative medicine for Burns Medical School here in Hawaii.
So do you think we're going to get the law changed so that a physician could legally recommend to a patient coming in that has cancer or something other than that he can or she would be legally able to recommend energy enhancement system as opposed to, cutting and burning, you know, radiating and poisoning?
Well, that's a very, very good question because legally right now the only legal treatments for cancer are the, you know, surgery.
The chemo and the radiation.
Radiation and chemo. However, our technology was presented by a top oncologist, Dr. Victor Marcel Vega, was presented for the Radiation Oncology Committee meeting as an adjunct therapy for cancer because it eliminates the pain so well, but also because it really, really helps, you know, with eliminating some of the side effects of those treatments.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me that we would even have to say the only thing that a doctor can legally prescribe for cancer is...
But this way, it does set a precedent that they have to recognize that they can use this as an adjunct because it was presented there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's 9:30, and this is the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for being with us, sitting tight, listening, and I hope that everybody got something that they needed, information about the energy enhancement system. I hope that you enjoyed Almeen, and thanks for coming on, and thanks for doing this show for us.
Well, thanks for all that you do, Rain. You do awesome work, and I'd really encourage everybody to contact you about your new tapes and other videos and seminars that are coming out.
Yeah, I got a whole new thing coming out. The new business is called Ascension Road.
Ascension Road, cool. And people can also get phone readings with you as well, right?
Yes, I do phone readings and I do healing sessions. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be doing that particular kind of work. I think that time is limited. I've enjoyed very much the time that I've given healing folks, helping folks to heal, and teaching them to move into prosperity and abundance. But I think it's getting time for me to do something different now, and I very much look forward to that.
Cool. Yeah.
But as it is right now, you can still get a phone reading, phone session with me, or a private session if you're in the greater Phoenix area, and you can do that by going to my website, www.drrainmorgan.com. And please tell your friends about our radio show. We really put a lot into this. I think that people don't realize how much it takes, you know, to sponsor and produce a few hours a week. You know, we have been doing 12 hours a month, and that's a lot of radio, and now we're cutting it down to a two-hour show on Wednesday nights that we know of right now. And then I have my little one-hour show coming up. That airs Sunday night the 19th, and I hope you'll be stopping in to... If you're not on an airplane someplace, I hope you'll be stopping in. Almeen is going to do that first show with us. And, of course, you know, we're right there with energy enhancement systems. And, you know, if you folks would like to get a hold of me and get more information, if I'm more available, I don't have the answers. I know how to get to Dr. Sandra Rose Michael, and I can get the answers. So, you know, we're here for you.
Yeah.
We just want to heal the whole planet, don't we?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You've got a whole world to turn around fast.
So I say thank you to all of you for joining us. Please come back next week, next Wednesday. I'm not sure who's going to be on. It was going to be Barbara Hann Clow. And somehow there was a mess up with her twice, and we didn't get to do radio with her, so I don't know what's going on with that. But I do have a whole plethora of people to choose from, and I know you do too. So we'll put some great people together this week. We'll be back next week. Join us then. Thanks so much, Dr. Sandra Rose.
And aloha.
Aloha. Good night for now. Many blessings.
The talk radio you have just enjoyed is brought to you by Dr. Sandra Rose Michael and Energy Enhancement Systems. Have a very blessed week, and please join us next Friday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time when we return with more exciting talk. To find out more about the host and sponsor, visit drrainmorgan.com and energyenhancementsystems.com.
This is Bill Tiller of